always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Let us come and meditate on God's word. Will you pray with me? Our Father, as we come and the rain comes down and we heard the thunder rolling this morning and saw flashes of lightning, it reminds us who's in charge. It's not us. Lord, you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You are bigger than our problems. You are bigger than our fears. You are bigger than what we worry about. Lord, you are bigger on what we're trying to control, Lord, that we can't control. So, Father, I pray that as we come in here, whatever it is that we're wrestling with, fear, doubt, worry, anxiety, addiction, pain, suffering, Lord, you know it all, that, Lord, we'd leave it here. We'd leave it on the cross. Father, I pray that I would be a vessel of your truth, Lord, because I don't have any words of wisdom. It is your word that is wisdom. So I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our ears and our eyes to your truth, that we'd hear it, we'd respond to it, we'd live it, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for allowing us to know you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, amen. You know, the older I get, the more appreciative I am of my parents and what they had to go through to raise my sister and I. You know, especially my sister, obviously she was all kinds of problems and made it very difficult. And I'm sure she's listening to this. I'm going to get a call on this. This will not be breaking news. My sister was great. I was a nightmare on every level. I was constantly in trouble at home. Constantly in trouble at school. I was just a train wreck. And so my parents are just, you know, I appreciate all that they had to do, but that's what you do as a parent. You do whatever you have to do for your kids. It doesn't matter what it is, you do it. Because it's one of those things that changes you like nothing else. I mean, going away to college changes you. You kind of have some independence. You know, when you get married, it changes you because you're living with somebody else and trying to figure life out. But when you have kids, it's unbelievable how that changes you. I felt, and I'm sure Christy would back this up, I felt I was like the most selfish guy in the world, even when we got married. But once we had a child, all of a sudden that changed, right? I was like, whatever I need to do, I will absolutely do in a minute. And since we've had kids, and maybe you've had these conversations too, Christy and I often will sit down at the end of a very long day of running kids here and running kids there and doing this and say, what did we do with all that time before we had kids? Like, why didn't we climb a mountain or paint the Sistine Chapel or do something? Like, what'd we do? And then when you have to go like back to school shopping or when your kids get older and you have to feed them consistently, right? You say, what did we do with all that money? We must have been millionaires compared to what we spend on these kids. Because you go from diapers and formula, right, to clothes and games, to cell phones in college, and you're like, how in the world is this happening? But that's what you do as a parent. And there are certain things that kind of mark you as a parent. You know, if you have newborn children, or if you remember then, you constantly had a stain on your shirt, right? That's a badge of honor that says, I am a parent. Right? If you ever had anybody stop by your house unannounced when you have kids, first of all, you should never do that unannounced to anybody with young kids. I mean, you will see toys everywhere, dishes to the ceiling, but that's just kind of par for the course. That screams, I'm a parent. Or if you have to drive a minivan and not a truck that you so want, you have to drive a minivan, even though it's a cool minivan, that screams you are a parent. But those are all things that say, I'm a parent. They are a witness that says, I am a parent. And you don't have to tell anybody anything. They can just look at the stains on your shirt, the mess in your house, or the minivan that you drive, and that's a witness to you being a parent. So here's our question. What are the things that witness to you and I being a follower of Christ? because we tie witnessing to words all the time. And people say, I can't witness. I wouldn't know what to say. What if they ask me a question? How do you begin that? What if we understood that witnessing isn't all about words? What an impact we can have. And so we're going to continue to go through Acts 2, 42 through 47, and see the radically relational way the early church lived and how that was such a powerful witness that we can follow today. So again, we're going to go to Acts 2, 42 through 47. It says this, they, being the disciples, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You know, I said earlier that Christy and I, and maybe you guys have done this, say, what did we do with all that time? And how many of us, when you ask somebody, how are you doing? It's busy. Busy. We all want more time. We want more time in our day to do the things we have to do. We want more time in our day to do the things that we want to do. But the truth of the matter is we all have a choice on how we spend our time. And the early church, they had a choice too. How were they going to spend their time? They chose to spend their time in a way that was so powerful, it so changed them that it became a witness to other people. See, the way they chose to spend their time was to come and learn about the Word of God, listen to those teaching it, and then be in prayer together. They chose to use their time to learn about God, listen to God, and pray with other people. They had that choice. We have that choice. And when they came and they learned and they listened, it was a powerful witness to other people. And we see that when the church is united in coming and learning and listening, it's a powerful witness. Listen to what this says here in 1 Timothy. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And then in Hosea, it says, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. Notice what this says. Be devoted to Scripture. Now, in the early church, they would have been devoted to the apostles' teachings. It would have been the Old Testament and the pre- and post-teachings from Jesus Christ. And they came and they wanted to learn about this. What we see here that Paul is saying is, when you do that, he says, people will watch you. Notice he says they won't hear you. They will watch you and see your devotion and see how that changed. And that is such a powerful witness when people know that the church is coming together to study God's word. When the church is coming together to pray together. That is a powerful witness to other people. Without ever having to say a word to anybody, your witness is your worship. Your witness is your prayer life. Your witness is coming together to do those things. That has an amazing impact on people when we are unified in those things. Now, think about how when people come together, united on one cause consistently, what message that sends. Now, I'm going to tread lightly on this, so forgive me. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Huskers, okay? Now, let's everybody take a deep breath. We're back on track. Everything's going to be just fine, okay? But when I was about coming here, moving to Nebraska, there's a lot of impressive things about the University of Nebraska football team. There's national championships. There's All-Americans. There's academic All-Americans. But to me, somebody who was not born here, the most impressive thing is their consecutive streak of sellouts. It's almost up to 360 that they have sold out almost 55 years at Memorial Stadium, where people are coming to the games. Whether the team is doing well or not doing well, they are united. And that is a powerful witness to the rest of the country that says this community supports its football program. This community comes together no matter what the weather is, no matter what the circumstances. That is a powerful witness. And they're not going out standing on street corners saying, hey, come to the game, hey, go to this game or support the team. It's them coming together for a common cause that is a powerful witness. The same is true for the church. You know, we're getting ready for the baseball playoffs. I can't wait for the baseball playoffs to start. And one of my all-time favorite players is a guy named Cal Ripken Jr., shortstop for the Baltimore Orioles. And he was a good player. He was not stats off the sheet. But you know what Cal Ripken Jr. is known for? Consecutive games played. 2,632 consecutive games. He didn't miss a game. Over 20 years, he was in the lineup because he loved the game of baseball. He understood his obligation to his team and to the fans who were paying his paycheck. But he was there. And what a powerful witness for the game of baseball that says, that guy loves it. I got to go watch him. See, the witness is being there. The early church understood the most powerful witness they had was coming together to learn about God and coming together to pray to God, to pray for the community, to pray for one another, to pray for the church. That is a powerful witness. And see, when a church comes together and it is devoted to learning about God and praying, when it is deliberate about learning about God and praying, it becomes dynamic. Everybody wants to be a part of a dynamic church. Man, that is dynamic worship. That is a dynamic youth program. Do you know what makes a church dynamic? Devotion. When a church is devoted like the early church was to say, we want to learn about God's word. And when we want to pray to God. We want to pray for each other. We want to pray for our community. We want to pray for our country. That's what makes a church dynamic. That's part of why the early church grew, because what does it say in this text? And God added to their number daily. When you read Acts 2, 42 through 47, it's not a marketing plan. It's not five steps to growing your church. It's how to live a kingdom life, how to have a powerful witness. And in all those things, nobody was talking. Nobody was going up to their coworkers saying, do you know Jesus? It was just how they lived their life. And part of that was coming to learn. Part of that was coming to listen. That was coming to pray. That is a powerful witness. How you and I choose to use our time witnesses to what we worship, witnesses to what we love. The early church says we want to witness to the gospel. We want to witness to our radical relational approach to life within the body of Christ. That's a witness. You know, every church wants to say, well, we're like the early church. We're like the early church. I think we can kind of sort of say we're a little bit more. Because remember, they were a church plant. And then they became the local church. So I'm going to claim that is that we're a lot like the early church. We were a church plant. Now we're a local church. And the early church, just like our church, just like any church today, has to say, what am I going to do with my resources? Churches have to decide what they're going to do with their resources. Individuals have to decide, what am I going to do with my resources? Families have to decide, what am I going to do with my resources? The early church chose to use their resources in a radically relational way. And it's even more radically relational today because we live in such a consumeristic culture, such a me-first culture. And they decided that if anybody was in need, they would provide their needs. Because they knew if there's somebody within the church community that is suffering, that maybe lost their job, and people would lose their job just for being a Christian. Not because they were saying anything, but just because they were a Christian, they would lose their job. Now, some would obviously share their faith. And the church said, it's a bad witness if the community of faith won't take care of one of its own. Why would anybody outside that community of faith want to come in? But when somebody says that person lost their job or they're going without or they're struggling and that community rallied around them and provided for them, I want to be a part of that community. So here's the thing. The early church, if they lost their job for their faith, they weren't worried because they knew that the church would take care of them. So it brings up the question for us. What are we willing to do that would cost us our job? And if we did, do we have the confidence that the body of Christ would rally around us and say, I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to step in for you. See, Luke is kind of giving a checkup. Luke was a doctor, and so he's kind of saying, here are some signs for a healthy church. Here's what needs to happen. And he says, here's how you need to use your time, and here's how you need to use your resources. And one of the things we have to understand about the early church, it was made up mostly of Jews. And the Jews, and they became followers of Christ, so they became Messianic Jews, which means they celebrate Christ as Savior, but still celebrate some traditions. And one of the wonderful traditions that we carry forth from our Jewish heritage is caring for the poor, caring for the oppressed, caring for those who can't care for themselves. See, that's a radically relational thing that the church has to be different than the rest of the culture. And we read this in Deuteronomy. It says this: however, there need to be no poor among you. If anyone is poor among you, your fellow Israelites, in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hardened or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend to them whatever they need. That's part of our calling as the church, is to look and to care for those within our midst and within our community. And see, the radically relational way the early church did it was they loved each other. They knew each other. They cared for each other. And see, they just didn't open themselves up that way. They opened up their lives. They opened up their homes. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter. It says this: offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. If you open up your home, you open up a world of opportunity for the gospel to come in and change people. When I was in my early 20s, I was a part of a young adult ministry. And we met in somebody's house. And to this day, I don't know whose house it was, but it was a big house. And they said to the church, you can have all the young people over here that you want and do whatever you want, because we want to give them a place to meet. And so Sunday nights, there we would go, everybody in their early 20s trying to figure life out. And we had a place that we could talk to one another, that we had somebody get up and play a guitar and we sang some songs, and then somebody gave a quick message and we grew in our faith. Because somebody chose to say, I have a resource that's a home and I'm going to open it up. They may not have been able to teach, they probably weren't able to sing, but they were able to use what they had. And see, when we start to say, my time, the way I use my time can be a witness, the way I use my resource can be a witness, watch what God does. John MacArthur, who's probably one of my favorite teachers and preachers, he has a ministry out of California, says it like this, and my comments will be in the parentheses. It says this: the early church's witness was seen through spiritual duties, study and prayer, and spiritual attitude, helping put others first, which led to a spiritual impact, witness for Christ. You and I both have responsibilities at work. You and I both have responsibilities with our family, with our kids. Our kids have responsibilities at school. We have responsibilities as the church. We have duties as the church, and that is to come together to learn more about God's word. Do you ever notice the longer kids are in school and the more they learn, the more confident they become? Because they've been coming every day and studying, and they're like, I understand math, I understand science. Do you ever notice how much confidence you have now in your job than when you first started? It's probably because you had some training, you probably went to some seminars, you probably started doing it a little bit more, so you have confidence. The more we study God's word, the more we're in God's word, the more we use our resources, the more confident we're going to become. And see, how we choose to use our time, how we choose to use our resources is so important. You know, that's why Go Sunday is such a big deal for us. It's a huge deal, because we're going to go into the community and we're going to rake mulch and we're going to wash windows and we're going to move pitcher's mounds and we're going to winterize Legacy School and we're going to do all these things, and it's going to be an amazing experience, but it's going to be a powerful witness to the community that says, you know what? We're going to use our time to serve you. It's going to say, we're going to use our resources, whether that's raking or washing or cleaning or whatever it is, we're going to use those resources to say to you, and that will go further than anything we could ever say to them. That's going to have a greater impact than if we all stood on the corner and it said, honk for Jesus. And I've done that. When you serve people, when you choose to use your resources to bless other people, it will change them and it will change you. And so I cannot emphasize enough, after the service, go sign up for Go Sunday. It's going to be an amazing experience. And then we're going to come together and we're going to go to Valas and we're going to have a great time and we're going to learn about fellowship. Next week, we're going to talk about radically relational fellowship. And instead of talking about it, we're going to do it with Go Sunday. There's a great early church father. His name is Saint Francis of Assisi. And he says this, write this down. Preach the gospel at all times. And when necessary, use words. That'll preach. That'll preach. See, our witness can't just be about words. And we can't say, well, I can't witness. I'm not a speaker. I don't know how to talk. What if they ask me? See, witnessing isn't all about words. It's about how we choose to use our time. It's about how we choose to use our resources. When we use our time and we use our resources just to love God and love each other in a radically relational way, it's not even about going out. It's about doing this. It'll change everybody else. It will change everybody. See, the early church, they came together and they worshiped God. They worshiped God at the temple. They worshiped God together in the home because they wanted each other to see, look what God's doing in my life. God is changing me. God is working on me. God is doing something in me. The Holy Spirit comes in and it changes me. And now I go from being selfish to selfless. You know, I go from being distracted to being devoted. So they came together as a witness to each other and to others of what God was doing. That's why we did the fifth quarter and worked the concession stands. Yes, we were serving the community, but we were witnessing to the community to say, look what God's doing in my life. I'm willing to show up on a Friday night and give popcorn and hot dogs and everything to all of those kids who kept coming back again and again and again. I mean, you got to love Jesus to host 250 middle school kids. Nothing else can motivate you to do that. What we were doing was saying, look what God has done in my life. I'm willing to give of my time. I'm willing to give of my resources because of what God is doing in my life. That's what the early church did. And it was a powerful witness, and it wasn't with words. It was with how they lived. It was their actions. That's why life groups are just such a critical part of who we are at Three Timbers. If you're not in a life group, let us know. We want to get you in one. Because when you do life together, it's an amazing thing. See, most people aren't going to walk into a church just on their own. It's not going to happen. Church can be intimidating, whether it's in a big cathedral or whether it's in a gym. But you know what? When the church comes to them, because their neighbor's got all these people at their house meeting every month. Huh, what's that about? And eventually that neighbor will say, I keep noticing there's all kinds of cars in the driveway and there's all kinds of cars being parked up and down the street. What are you guys doing in there? That's my church group, my church family. We're just kind of meeting, we're studying God's word, we're having a meal together and we're praying together. Boy, there is nothing like cars in a driveway to be a powerful witness for your faith in Jesus Christ. You're not going up to the neighbor and saying, hey, come on over, here's what we're doing. You're witnessing to the neighbor by how you're using your time, how you're using your resources, and how you're interacting with other brothers and sisters in Christ. What a powerful witness it is to have cars in a driveway. Think about the impact we could have in this community if everybody was doing that. If every Sunday everybody came, if every time there was a life group everybody came, if everybody came on Wednesdays, that it's not even going out and saying anything, it's just being there. Man, it would explode. It would absolutely explode. You don't think it's a powerful witness to all these homes around Pine Creek when they say, look at all the cars that are parked at Pine Creek every Sunday morning. What are those people doing over there? Why do they come out happy? Why are they hanging out together? I want to be a part of that. They seem like they're having fun. They seem to really like each other. That is a powerful witness. It changes people when they see us just doing what God called us to do. Worship together, pray together, use our resources to love one another, meet in each other's homes, meet at the temple. That's a witness that is far greater than anything anybody can say. Every pastor loves to think that every sermon they preach, man, it was awesome. They just came up and just started throwing themselves to Jesus right in front of you. That doesn't work. Look, I realize very clearly that sometimes my sermon, when you hit the parking lot, you're like, what did he talk about? Did he say something about Jesus today? I don't even know what he said. But you can remember, it was great to be together. It was great to worship together. It was great to know that people are praying for me. It's great to know that I've got a life group that can walk with me, man, no matter what is going on. I got people who love me and are there for me. We can change the world just like a small group that gathered together. They didn't have all this ability to go stand on a street corner. See, witnessing isn't just about your words. That's a part of it. Absolutely it is. Some people are very comfortable and very gifted in that. And if you are, praise God and do it. But if you and I can use our time to study God's word and to come and pray, not just 1 hour a week, but I mean every week and Wednesdays. And if we can say, I'm going to be a part of life groups because I want to grow and I want to grow with people and I want people to know I'm a hot mess and I want to know they're a hot mess and I want to know they love me and we're all a big hot mess together. And I want to use whatever resource I have. Maybe you're just going to open up your home so a bunch of people can meet and you're not even there. That's awesome. Maybe your resource is music. Maybe it's children. You know, if you have children, you are a childcare expert. And you can sign up in the back. We've got some opportunities for you just to love kids. What a witness that is. A couple things I want to share with you. Number one, be radically relational and spend our time in listening and learning about the Word of God together. See, we can see the kingdom grow and the church grow. Number two, we got to pray together. And I mean pray together, not just Sunday mornings, but get together and pray. We've got a wonderful prayer chain that if you have a need, send it, and we'll send it out electronically, and you can know the people of God are praying for you. We're going to be talking to you in just a few minutes about how the elders are going to lead that charge. Number three, serve others before ourselves, but do it together. How can we serve other people together? That's why Fifth Quarter was such an awesome experience, is that we did it together. You know, we were up there as the body of Christ serving Bennington. That's why we hosted Fifth Quarter. We did it together, and we grow closer together. That's how the kingdom grows. That's how the church grows. I'm going to ask our music ministry to come back up, and I want to challenge you. I really want to challenge you in a loving way, and I challenge myself in this. We all want to have an impact. We all want to make a difference. We all want to see people come to know Jesus, right? That's why we do. McDonald's makes hamburgers. Apple makes computers. We're called to make disciples. And the way that we can have a powerful witness is not with words, but with our actions. So here are my three questions for you to wrestle with. Number one, are you radically relational with God on how you spend your time? Are you spending time with God every day? Are you seeking God out in corporate worship every week? Are you engaged on Wednesday nights? Are your kids engaged every week? Are you in a life group that you're going to every month and learning and growing? Number two, are you radically relational with your resources for the kingdom of God? Whatever that is. And we all have different resources. You know, your resource may be hospitality, and we're grateful for those who have that gift. That's a resource that blesses us. Maybe it's music. Maybe it's children. Maybe it's opening your home. Maybe it's tithing. I don't know. What are your resources? Are you radically relational in those ways? Number three, are you radically relational with others when it comes to praising God? Man, there is nothing like coming together and just praising God. I mean, just having worship and just talking about God and singing about God and loving God. That radically relational part. We say, man, I'm here all the time because I can't wait to be with my church family to worship. If we can do those things, and notice every one of those things has nothing to do with us talking to other people, right? It's not you going to work tomorrow and saying, okay, I got to go up to my manager and tell him about Jesus or pastor going to get mad at me. That's not what this is. We can have an impact without words. And I think if we did that, we would see an unbelievable transformation in our community and in us. So as we sing this song, just reflect, how can I witness with my life?